Because I think Mina Kimes comped him to Mike Hilton.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, I
brother.
Know, but he's not. Well, he's not an outside corner though.
So you've got Jackson to play outside. I'd love that. Put him at slot corner. Have him be a little pest and badass for the next few years.
A little pest. Here,
I'd sign up for that. There's some good slot corners. Chase Saint lines Stroll's up in the, yeah. In the slot sometimes.
I'm sorry, it's Saint Ristel. He is only 5'9". He is not even 5'10".
Okay. Let him be the elite slot corner that he is. I'd have no problem with that.
How about a guy like TJ Tampa from Iowa State?
I don't know much about him.
Big guy, 6'7", 1'9".
6'7"?
I did the stupid Brugler thing where they go 6'007", and the last one is eighths of an inch. He's about 6'1", 195. He's a big corner.
Donnie, is it redundant here? You just want them to take Frazier and get on with their life's work after that at 51?
If Powers, Johnson, or Frazier are there, it's got to be one of those
two. So the more
two.
Interesting thing is then, if both, we all agree, especially on Frazier, if he's there at 51, he should be the pick. If both of those guys are gone, I want very clearly corner, then what? I would even suggest if they want to double up on wide receiver at 84-98, I would be cool with them doing that.
I don't think people should be surprised if they pick two receivers in the draft.
All right,
I don't know if it'll be bang-bang, 84-98.
I'm going to name some of the receivers that are still on the board. You tell me if you would take any of these guys over the center prospects. If Mitchell is there from Texas at 51, would you take him over the center, guys?
I don't think. He makes me nervous, man. You've read all about him, right?
Would you?
I'm taking the centers over anybody.
Ladd McConkey?
McConkey, man, does he get open.
I'm so dead set on those two guys, Pony. I'm going to say I'm taking them over anybody.
I think McConkey's the exception for me. If McConkey's there at 51, part of me would be like, why did he fall this far?
Yeah.
But he...
Can you imagine?
Catches everything, and he's super fast.
For people wondering, he is Garrett Wilson almost identically. Athletically,
I know. I saw that when they put those comps up at the combine.
The height, weight, all that stuff, and then every single drill he did, he and Garrett Wilson are almost just a clone of one another.
All right, one more hypothetical.
And I love Garrett Wilson,
One
by
more
the
hypothetical
way.
For you boys. Where is the earliest in the draft you would take Spencer Rattler?
98. I would do it, man, because I think he is better. I think I like Penix, by the way. I think Penix could be really good. I think he's better than Penix. I think he's better than Bo Nix. I think he is better than J.J. McCarthy. I think he will be a better pro than all three of those guys.
I disagree with that.
I think there's big-time arm talent there, and the guy has actually gone through some crap in college.
Yeah, I know.
Making me think that he is like a much more finished product than he was.
I would just say, in defense of McCarthy, go put on the last drive against Alabama in the playoff.
Then
okay?
Give me one other drive from McCarthy that even popped, because they basically said, here, JJ, you're really talented. Hand off.
But I don't think, like, I think that's what makes him a mystery, but he also shouldn't be excoriated because he was on a good team. He didn't do anything wrong.
I love Rattler, though, having been on a pretty middling SEC team where he was getting pummeled and he was still standing in there making throws, man. That's like the opposite of what Pickett ultimately was doing at Pitt sometimes.
I probably would not be against him going with the 98th pick.
84.
I'll back you up on that.
84 is a little too early for me because of their needs, but I think 98,
Don,
I'd do it.
Would you do 98?
Yeah, I would do 98, but it has to be.
Would you do 84?
No.
I don't think he's going to last to either one of those picks,
by the way.
Well,
he's the highest-rated quarterback on the board.
I'll make a bold prediction. Is it even a bold prediction? I don't even think he'll be there at 51.
Damn.
I have a feeling somebody's going to take a swing on him in the second round. Like a team that is, you know, could have
done. How about the Giants?
Yeah, like I could see somebody saying, we don't really love our quarterback, but we might be committed to them for 1 year. And then here's Spencer Rattler, a guy that was a better recruit than Caleb Williams briefly. Or lost his job to Caleb Williams, ultimately.
All right, let's hear what our listeners think, starting with Joe in Wexford. Hello, Joe.
Hey, how's it going, boys?
Hey, man.
So a little bit about the last night pick. I will have to admit, I was watching the Bleacher Report chat, and those guys had me originally a little disappointed. They said B+, so I kind of fed into that non-sexy pick. And then I did my homework, and
I watched that too, and their draft guy said that Fautanu had a great snatch move. He said, look for that snatch move, which got me excited. I didn't know that.
Joe, did you play ball at all? Can you explain to us what a snatch move actually is?
I did not have a good snatch move.
I did play ball. I think it's when you grab a guy, when a guy tries to grab you, control you, and the offensive lineman can kind of snatch you and throw you down on your face.
Okay.
Like, you kind of grab them and you're like, oh, that's right.
I thought it was like a go low, like maybe grab a guy in like the Gooch area and try to take him out
Gooch.
That way, yeah.
The Taylor Gooch area.
The Grundle, if you will.
The Spab.
It is T-shirt. It is T-shirt worthy, though, the snatch move. You're going to see T-shirts somewhere in the strip district.
All right, so now you're starting to come around on the pick. What else, Joe?
So as far as tonight's pick, I'm definitely, obviously, you got to go Frazier. You go center. But if the centers are gone, and I'm saying corner, is there a possibility we trade up for DeJean maybe? Or you think he's going to be gone?
So that's a great – I like that question. I don't think that's impossible. Like, I don't know if they'd move up to – I don't think they'd move up to 34, 35, someplace like that. But I think if it got to a spot where he was still there at 43 or 44, seven picks ahead of them, six picks ahead, I think in that situation they probably would. Unless four or five other guys they really like. But, you know, I heard before the draft that he was
– Small bit of breaking news here, Pony.
Go ahead.
Not anything crazy, but we got a number for Fautanu. He is going to wear a somewhat cursed number, 76, most recently worn by Mr. Chooks.
Ugh. Well, we don't have to worry about him being a complete, well, I was going to say a-hole, and then I was going to reference the time that Chooks picked up Matt Canada and, like, slammed him against the wall.
I never heard that story.
I might be embellishing it a little bit, but it happened at halftime of the Jets game, so I'll just have Kabali tell the full story in about 10 minutes.
What if they just gave him...
I was going to say, that's not really something that I should dislike Chooks for. I don't even really dislike him for what he said to Tomlin about offensive strategy late in the game. I just hated the fact that he was an inconsistent blocker and at various points didn't look like he gave a damn when he was out
there. But you and I both agreed we would have rather seen him stay at right tackle and have Jones just come in for more.
Absolutely.
What if they gave Fautanu 65? Just told Dan, like, yeah, you're going to have to find a new number, pal.
I still think they have so many holes to fill. I would not really like moving up. If it meant like they trade their fourth round pick
for a major impact
119
guy.
and that gets them Cooper DeJean and maybe they get like a seventh round pick or a fifth round pick back, I would do that.
Well,
yeah.
then you've got to find your center probably at 98.
All of
you?
That, yeah. What I'm saying, that's like his hypothetical was the centers are gone.
Well, okay, hold on. Hypothetically, you do that. You trade 119. Would you try to trade back from 98 to see if you could get Norzad, who probably won't be gone by then? If Van Pran's gone at 98, let's say, I would do that then. I'd try to trade into the 100s, acquire an extra pick in the process.
I think you could get Norzad in the middle or late fourth round.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Trade back into the 100s to try to get the picks back.
Here is – I would be all for that. Here's Tim on the fan. Hello, Tim.
Yeah, you guys said to call in if you don't like the pick.
Yeah.
I personally can't stand it because – I mean, Dan Moore is apparently obligated to start for the Steelers every year. So, I mean, I guess now they're going to have to move him to center. You know, I mean, maybe he could be a backup quarterback. I don't know. But, I mean, apparently we're obligated to start the guy. So,
all right, Tim, very good.
Actually, I didn't mind that. He kind of did it with the Eeyore voice. Kind of funny.
Here is Corey next. Hello, Corey.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Corey.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about the first-round pick. I can get into the second-round pick, but the first round pick, I watch a lot of college football, big Penn State fan, but Washington, they were on a lot because they were very good. And every time I watch the game, I'm like, who's that left tackle? He's like a dancing bear out there. And there's a highlight of him on YouTube. It's unbelievable. He gets beat on the inside, and he does a 360 spin move back to the inside. And
better than Kenny's pirouette move?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Okay. Hey, you're a big Penn State fan. What do you think if Frazier and JPJ are gone, what do you think of Norzad in the fourth round as a center?
Ivy League kid, very smart, Corey.
Right. He's pretty athletic, too. He would kind of, though, whiff, like, out of nowhere and give up a bad sack. Mm. He actually did play very well for Penn State. Frazier, I love everything about him, except he has short arms and I question his anchor. Oh. In the NFL, I'm kind of afraid he might get pushed back too often, whereas the Oregon guy, you watch his highlights, when guys run at him, they stop moving. And he can also pull, get to the second level and just pancake.
Well, that's the worry people had about him, though, is contrary to what you said at the end there, people think that Powers Johnson's like a Jabba the Hutt, like a mammoth who is going to be great in like power blocking schemes but isn't a moving guy.
Dan Zangrilli, who was at West Virginia when Frazier was there, went on our radio station and said, quote, Mike Webster qualities. and Zach Frazier.
I'm glad he's really tamping down expectations for Zach Frazier. He's a mix of Mike Webster, Ray Mansfield, Dirt Dawson, Kevin Mawai. Throw in a little Jason Kelce, and then you have Zach Frazier.
I feel like Crowley's been pretty reserved on Frazier, and I think that that's Doran rubbing off on him. Like, I've heard him say, I want him, but there's not the kind of gusto there that I was expecting.
Well, you'll know it's Doran rubbing off on him if he says they should take MJ Devonshire repeatedly in the sixth round.
Gonsalves. Gonsalves. I knew there was like, it's a C, but you say it with a Z.
Yeah, it's an S sound. Yeah, Matt Gonsalves. Well, you know who loves Gonsalves, right?
Jeff Hathorn.
Jeff Schwartz. Because Jeff Schwartz was the comp that NFL.com used for him, and he said, well, this guy's obviously the best lineman in the draft.
I was talking to Schwartz today. There was a back and forth.
Yes.
A Schwartz back and forth. And we were talking about Fautanu, who he likes. And I asked him left or right side with him. Mm-hmm. And he said it's player dependent. For example, he said, I could not play on the left side. So I think that might also be why Tomlin has not given it away. Let's get him to camp.
See what he can
do. Let's see how they look. If he struggles at right, well then.
Do we know which knee is the knee that is like potentially bad that Dr. Chow said was not a big deal?
I don't know if Chow gave that.
Well, here's the only.
I don't know if Chow gave me that information, but Chow said zero red flags.
No, I know. But like, okay, just play this out for 10 seconds with me. If it's a knee that gets more stress when he's lining up on the left side because of maybe how he has to plant or get into his pass set pony, mm-hmm. couldn't you move him to right tackle and perhaps ease the burden there?
Yeah, you could. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. At 4:16, time to start your weekend up front with Archie's Famous Wings. Paul Zeiss brought in 150 wings for the guys last night.
Not a single one
NFL
left.
Draft special, and they were picked dry,
yeah.
picked clean.
I came in to do the sports call at about 10:25. I checked, not a single one left.
Jim Haslett never showed. No showed him.
Not there.
Did not show up, even though he was promoted by us all day yesterday.
Like, I got there, and he wasn't there, and I thought, oh, maybe he just was here for part of the show.
Mark Cabali joins us right now. Mark, if the Steelers had taken Graham Barton at 20, would you have given that an F?
Oh, I would have given it a
G for generational.
I would have given it below a C. I know that. I wasn't a huge Graham Barton fan, at least in that spot at 20th overall in that position. So
what are you giving Fautanu?
I give that an A+, man, just like me in high school. Nothing but A+, baby. I think that was a great pick at that position, him falling to that point. And better yet is they had the patience enough. It didn't sure sounded like Omar had to be talked off the ledge a little bit. He wanted to go get him, but to be able to get him at 20, he is close as you're going to get to a plug-and-play type of a tackle here. I thought it was an absolutely home run of a hit.
Mark, and you know, we know you hit a lot of those in those Mon Valley Little Leagues too, home runs.
Yeah.
Mike Tomlin only committed to the idea that he said for now he's a tackle and pretty much kind of was emphatic about that, I would say. Can you give us your best guess as to whether or not you think that he will play right tackle here or left tackle? Because we know he didn't protect Penix's blind side because he was a lefty playing left tackle at Washington.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a wait and see type of thing. If I was a betting man, I would think that they would switch Broderick Jones over to left and have Fautanu at right tackle. But he's not going to commit to that right now, so we could throw it back in his face every single day until that happens. let's call it for what it is. That's why he doesn't make any declarative statements at that point, because he doesn't want it being thrown back at him as, hey, you said he was going to be a left tackle. What happened? So I think they'll wait and see. They probably have a thought in mind where they want him at, but I would put Broderick Jones at left tackle. And if you're going to make – I mean, this is – in theory, you're both bookend tackles for what, 8-10 years? Get them there as quickly as possible where you want them at and leave them there at that point. I don't want any switching around.
You said plug and play. You don't think Dan Moore starts week one now?
He could.
Oh,
I mean,
come on, Mark. That's not what I want to hear.
Don't kill the mood. It's Friday, man.
He could. Ugh.
He could. I mean, look what happened last year. They're going to give him every opportunity. There's a reason why he started 50 straight games or 50 games in 3 years.
And what would that reason be? He gives up more pressures than any human being that's played offensive line over the last two seasons.
Well, let's see where Fatanu is right now. Maybe he's a guy that does only need a couple.
No, I understand that, but I'm more asking why, when you say, you know, they'll give him every opportunity, I'm asking why do they still think Moore deserves that opportunity independent of Fatanu?
First of all, I don't think he's as bad as some of the numbers suggest he is. Now, I'm not saying he's the next Pro Bowl right tackle, but I just don't think he's as bad as some may portray him to be with pressures. I think he's still a pretty good run blocker. I mean, of course, he has some issues. So, I think more than anybody else out there, they could have drafted it 20th overall.
Yep.
I think Fatanu is a guy that would have the best chance of being that guy to come in and step in. I mean, if it was Mims at 20, I would pretty much guarantee it was going to be Dan Moore for at least a half a season and maybe a couple of the other guys. So I think if you're an anti-Dan Moore guy,
this is probably the best
scenario you have.
Good,
right,
because I am an anti-Dan Moore guy.
I was a Mims guy, but I understood going in if they picked him, it was going to mean at least like 6 weeks of Dan Moore, like Punxsutawney Phil, and I was not happy. As far as second day of the draft, Mark, do you think, yes or no question, which we're not supposed to ask in this business, if Zach Frazier is there at 51, are the Steelers picking him, yes or no?
I don't think so, man. We were just hammering this center. It seems like the only ones that care about center are us, as in everybody except within the organization, right? It doesn't seem like they're too concerned about that position at all. So if they were, I mean, they would have taken Graham Barton, right? And went Dan Moore play out tackle for the rest of the season. They must either have something in mind or they must really like Nate Herbig. So I think they'll go wide receiver, and I wouldn't be shocked if you leave today or we're at midnight here and they don't have a center, even if Jackson Powers Johnson or Zach Frazier.
Well, you just ruined Donnie's night. He's got his dad.
I know.
In town.
I think it would be absolutely tremendous. I mean, we're talking about you throwing one of those two centers in there and potentially play by October, maybe right away. Who knows when? I mean, it'd be pretty hard pressed to find an offensive line that has as much potential than what the Steelers would have if they added a center like that in the second round.
By the way, you just heard it with Mark. He is a center guy, not center.
Say it again, Mark, one more time.
You're asking me to pronounce things right? Come on.
No, just when you say, you know, center Zach
he
Frazier.
Went center on that one.
Why? Why do you emphasize the T?
Emphasized it. I heard that.
Because there's a T in there.
So when you say
well, that gets back to your name. I say your name right, and no one else does.
Kabali.
And now I get a complex over it. You go on McAfee; they say your name wrong every single time.
Kabali.
They say Kabali. Kabali.
The only reason I know how to say his last name is because my eye doctor growing up was Dr. Kabali,
and his uncle was adamant about us getting his name right. So I do it, and I'm like the only one who says it that way.
I say it right.
You and I are the only ones, Chris. Everyone else, Kabali. Kabali.
Kaboom. So let me be clear here. When you say the name of that town up 28, you say Tarentum.
I'm not a
Clareton,
guy.
Not Clareton.
Are you Latrobe or Latrobe?
No, I'm a Latrobe. Latrobe. I'm a Clareton. Clareton. Clareton.
Clareton's what you take for allergies, Mark.
Mark, so the Aiyuk thing seems to have morphed into Deebo Samuel, and Chris and I were talking about this. I just feel like he would fit the Steelers better, Samuel.
I think he might too. First of all, he's under contract for two more years at a cheaper price, right? What is it, 23 a year?
Yes.
If that.
It's actually,
plus he's a guy.
The cap hits lower because they owe him the signing bonus money, so it's like 22 and 20.
I didn't dive into the dynamics of it, but this is a guy that, you know, likes to smack your head off within the running game, right?
Yep.
And everything points to this team wants to run the ball, be a powerful, physical team. And why would you want arguably the best blocking wide receiver since Hines Ward here, right? So I think Deebo Samuel would fit better than Aiyuk right now, at least if you want to win right now. So
and
I
you
don't
keep
know.
Stressing that. Like, you keep banging the table to say they are in win now mode. That's what they're all about.
I think they should be. I mean, when you got the quarterback who's 36, 37, and you got a defense that has a bunch of guys that have been around 7, 8 years, and, I mean, the top three or four guys on defense aren't getting any younger, you might as well go for the jugular and do the win now. I mean, I think that has been a directive of Art Rooney. He doesn't want to be that guy that doesn't win anything. So go for it. Go for it. If it's Deebo Samuel, go get him. I don't really care. I would just do something to improve that wide receiver position. But I think they will address that wide receiver position here in the second round early.
If Cooper DeJean is still floundering there on the board and it's at like pick 44 or 45, do you think the Steelers would trade up to go get him?
Now, there was word that they were a little bit interested in him last night. So I'm assuming he's going to be one of those guys that are gone early, second. You know,
say 30, he's not, though. 30. Say he lasts into the mid-40s, just hypothetically, because like I think some of the second-day mocks we've seen actually have him going in the 50s. Do you think they would be motivated specifically for him to go up and get him?
I think so. I think they would. If you're sitting around that 45 spot, I think they got some sort of a pretty nice grade on him. They would be able to go up. And he's a guy that could contribute right away because he's, what is it, 4-5 position type of guy. So I still think that that will be off the table and they will go wide receiver if it's Corley, if it's Roman Wilson.
Now, I was just going to ask you, like in your crystal ball, who do you think is the most likely pick at 51 tonight, Mark?
I definitely think it's going to be a wide receiver. I'm thinking if Roman Wilson's there, they can go with him.
Okay.
I think that would be my pick right now. But oh, obviously, I don't think they're going to make a move. The question is if you got two or three of those receivers there and the Jackson Powers Johnson or Zach Frazier, what do you do?
Well, I do think they take the wide receiver
at that point.
All right, last one. Where do you think is the earliest they would take Spencer Rattler in the draft?
Hopefully never.
That hurts my soul.
I think it's just a wasted pick at this point, right? I mean, you got your three quarterbacks that are going to be on the roster during the season. I mean, if you're so interested in down the road and deal with it next offseason, deal with it next training camp.
Well, don't tell the Atlanta Falcons that.
Or the Washington/Commanders, whatever, of 15 years ago with Cousins and RG3. But I don't think Spencer Rattler's a guy who's a difference maker that you have to potentially give up a fourth-round pick or sixth-round pick. I mean, at that point, you might as well find yourself somebody else.
Mark Cabali, everyone, who is with us and not at the Fautanu press conference, which
I am leaving there right now to go down there. I'm not a big opening press conference type of guy. It's just a dog and pony show. No pun intended.
Wow. All right, Mark, thank you for coming on with us today and not McAfee.
All right.
Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Buddies.
There you go.
Now, if he had gone on with McAfee and said that exact same final line, would he have called it a dog and pony show? Is that how that would work?
I watched a little bit of it, but they gave no commentary on the Steelers pick.
Why do you think they did that?
They just glossed right over it. I wanted Belichick to break down big offensive tackle.
I like Fautanu. He was my number one guy on the board. Actually, Cole Strange.
He did take a little shot at the Patriots and pretty much made it seem like he would have taken all over Drake May.
One thing,
with that third pick.
Yeah, I think that would have been a mistake. One thing I did like is that he was in the full suit getup, and then what was McAfee wearing?
He was like a Canadian tuxedo. Yep.
I will give them credit. They have like a knack for the funny visual. It's all those guys just jagging around, and then there is Bill in a full suit and tie.
I mean, our local version of that would have been if Jim Haslett were in studio with Zeiss, who didn't know anybody's name last night and just kept saying the kid from insert school was his move, right?
He did have a lot of those, yeah. And then we'd help him pick up the pieces.
He'd say, can you spell that one for me?
Can you use it again in a sentence? Like spelling bee.
And he just said, all these quarterbacks, they're all going to stink.
School of origin?
Every one of them.
That's what he said?
Yeah, he said they're all going to stink.
What kind of a take is that? If Caleb
John,
Williams is good.
How many times did you watch Drake May torch Pitt? I'm surprised.
He threw a left-handed touchdown against Pitt.
Oh, my God. The B-roll on every highlight
Pitt
package for May is just him going against Pitt, which North Carolina, I guess I shouldn't say that that's a barometer because Mitch Trubisky did that against Pitt,
and then
too.
Who was the guy? Marquise Williams or whoever it was? Yeah,
little
they've all
Ryan
done that.
Switzer.
Oh, God.
It is time for the Donnie Football Debrief, and what a day for it. Day or night two of the NFL Draft. And it is sponsored by Saloni's Italian Bread. Donald?
The debrief, April 26, 2024. Something that we expect to happen in the next few years. I don't know when the intended date is, but Roger Goodell was on the Pat McAfee show today, and he shared some of the details of what the ideal schedule would be for the NFL going forward. 2 preseason games, 18 regular season games, so the calendar extended by 1 week. The kicker, Super Bowl Sunday, will land on a 3-day weekend of President's Day. So it would be that 18 games are played over 20 weeks, an extra bye week thrown in. So sounds similar to what they did in, 1993?
That's correct.
Was that the year?
Yep, 93 was the double bye week. So
very good. You weren't even born.
Yeah, instead of 17 games over 18 weeks, more primetime games, more rest for the players during the season is what he threw out there. And again, the Super Bowl taking place in the middle of February, the day before President's Day.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. Fewer games that don't matter, exhibition games that fans don't want to pay full price for. They get thrown into season ticket packages. You have to eat the cost of it. It's just a mockery. No one cares about the final score. Less and less we see things that actually translate into the real season, like the way we got bamboozled and hoodwinked by the Steelers, 5 for 5. Touchdown drives and Kenny Pickett's success, and I pretty much lost my credibility over the preseason. So yeah, I'd like to see no offense to Papiani, does a great job on those games. Papiani, where's the update on him as the play-by-play voice of the Steelers on the radio, by the way?
What about
I'd
Roundtree
love to see that. And Roundtree, who
it.
Follows us at 6, if I'm Roundtree, I am praising the Steelers up and down for what they did in the draft, and I am putting my scruples on the back burner. I'm not calling it right down the middle. I'm not being objective or honest.
I am trying to say Fautanu in my most mellifluous voice so that I get on their radar.
All I'm doing is saying the nicest things possible about the Steelers to try to get that job.
Yeah, I would agree.
So, yes, I want 18 games.
What about it being on President's Day and it turns into a 3-day kind of weekend party and you probably have a much bigger rager at your house and Amanda is compelled to say, well, let's have people over. That part of it. And you would have the option to not work the following day because it's a holiday.
No, I work the next day. I want people to go to work the next day so people are driving to and from work listening to us talk about the Super Bowl. And I think there's also something great about going to work the day after the Super Bowl. And if you have a regular job, you are just spending your day talking to your coworkers and colleagues
about
the game.
The Super Bowl.
And yes, and your productivity goes way down. So I would like that. I don't like that we get... I want to work the day after the Super Bowl. It's good for us.
But you don't want anybody else to work.
No, I want them to go to work.
Even though their productivity is down.
Well, yeah, I mean, Friday's productivity goes down, generally speaking. Should we get Fridays off from work, too?
I mean, we play Rebecca Black at 4:48.
Should we have 4-day work weeks like they do in Sweden?
I think we shouldn't because we don't have a real job. We're on the air talking sports and having fun.
Blue-collar guy's fine with working 5 days a week.
No, I think most of them actually like the 4-day work week.
Oh, do they? You've polled them?
Yeah, I think it actually raises productivity almost everywhere.
Oh, like name one of your blue-collar worker friends that's all for a 4-day work week.
Alex's uncle, an electrician.
What's his name?
Bert.
Bert. That's a made-up person.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Alex's uncle, Bert. I could call him right now in the air and say, Bert, are you a real person? He'd go, yeah, I am.
But he wouldn't agree with the take of the 4-day work week.
He works a 4-day work week, and he loves it. My father-in-law, Tommy,
all right,
works
stop,
a 4-day
Chris,
work week.
I think this is all nonsense.
Blue-collar guys, through and through. They cut their own grass. What do you do?
I was thinking about cutting it the other day because the guy that cuts my grass, his car broke down. Hmm. But then I realized that I had gas in my lawnmower that had been left in there for over a year. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that the gas in the gas can goes bad.
It does in 30 days. Well, okay. Like in cars. Yeah, I mean, any
so
gas.
I've had gas in a gas can for like more than a year.
Guess what, buddy boy?
And I went to start up the lawnmower and it didn't work.
Yeah, guess what? Our lawnmower didn't start for the same reason. I just kept at it till I got it started. Then I cut the grass like a blue-collar man. I'm surprised you didn't just say you paid for the car repairs for your guy who cuts your grass so that he could come over and do it.
Oh, I offered to pick him up.
Mm. Like Enterprise Rent-A-Car.
Yeah, they're going to just wrap that car in the brown wrapping paper. Drive it blind.
Pony shows up in his brand new SUV wrapped in brown.
I'm so glad you pointed that out on one of the old Was that an old draft or just an old game?
Yeah,
we were
they
watching?
Had the old Enterprise Rent-A-Car commercials, and somebody ended up with a great point. It's because they didn't want to give any brand preferential treatment. As a kid, I was like, how is that guy driving that car? He's sending it right off the road.
You know, while we're on the topic of what the NFL wants to do,
yeah,
I know everyone's going crazy about the draft in Detroit. It would bring a ton of money to the area, which would be outstanding, and it would be a huge party, and hundreds of thousands of people here would go to it and have a great time. I would still watch at home because I prefer the draft that way. But in the future, can we just send the draft back to a hotel? Can we go back to the Marriott Marquis and just put the helmet phones in there and the old-fashioned draft?
Like, so they basically every 10 years they do one retro draft,
yes,
where it's the old school. It's all pen and paper.
I liked a quaint draft.
How about every network has to broadcast on all their channels in standard definition?
Here's what I would actually love. So the first NFL draft was 1936.
Bill Shakespeare.
The Philadelphia Ritz-Carlton.
Go back to the Ritz. It is still open. My in-laws
for
stayed
the hundredth,
there.
For the 100th one.
A few months ago. Yeah, that'd be great.
I think that'd actually be pretty neat.
Wait, say that again. I was sorry. I'm looking
Go
at
back
it.
To the Ritz-Carlton. Like they did the first draft
in
1936.
The first draft. Yeah, it was 1936.
I'm just mad right now because a blue-collar HVAC guy said, I'd love to do the four-day work week, but it's not realistic. Well, for some people, it's not.
And where would we even put the draft here?
I've thought about that. On a barge in Des Moines. Put it on the Ohio. Put it on. Get one of those big ducks to flag
Seriously.
It.
Seriously.
I mean, would they just have it at Heinz? I guess they would have to worry about the weather being...
Just
ideal.
Have it in gold one.
Because some places, like, aren't they going to have it just in Lambeau Field next year?
Yep.
So that's an option. It'd be tricky to work, like, the point into it.
So that's what I always think about. Detroit had that huge plaza that could accommodate just an insane number of people.
Yeah, I don't think Market Square's
gonna Kansas
work.
City, like, had that whole area. What is that
Union
called?
Station.
Union Station. That could accommodate a ton of people. They've had this in places so far where they have big, flat expanses of land, basically, where they can do this. Pittsburgh is beautiful because it is on an arrowhead-shaped thing of land. Parcel of land that tapers naturally as an arrowhead would. I don't understand where they're going to do this that's going to be a great scenic backdrop.
They're going to hold up that construction on the gravel lot that's going to be a get-go or something.
They're
going to
put it,
they're going to say, we got to put the draft here
they're
in a couple
put
years.
It, they're going to have players, instead of walking from the green room, up and down the Mon Incline. That actually would be badass, let's be honest. If they did it very fast,
Mon Incline shuts down.
Up and down.
Mon Incline breaks down on third pick.
Fan weather.